Now, okay. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Man, we had a great service this morning. You know, it was awesome. God showed up. Lives were changed. People were touched, I believe, with all of my heart. Amen. If you weren't here, I'm sorry. You missed out. Let me ask you this question tonight. Does it seem like sometimes, not only as a body, but individually, that we just seem to go through things? Things just keep coming and keep coming and keep coming, and it just doesn't seem to end, or at least there doesn't seem to be an end in sight. I got the wrong message for tonight. No. It's all right? All right. Amen. Well, I want to encourage you tonight because, listen, I understand what it's like to seemingly continually be going through things. And I want for us to look at tonight one of my all-time favorite passages of Scripture. This is probably the first Scripture that I ever put to memory and memorized, and there's a song about it and all those kinds of things, but I want to encourage you tonight from the Word that I have drawn upon this Word many, many times, and it, in many ways, it corresponds with the message of this morning. I want you to turn with me to Isaiah in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. Chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to start in verse 28 and read through verse 31. I'm going to ask you to stand when you get there. This is a good word. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 40, starting in verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. Father, I pray, God, that You would add Your blessing on the reading of Your Word. Lord, that Your anointing would be upon this preacher to convey this message tonight in a fashion, Lord God, that Your people would be able to take something of this word of encouragement home, that the things that they face there, Lord, would become smaller in their sight as compared to the greatness of God. And so, Lord, I thank You. I pray Your anointing on me to preach Your Word, Your anointing on Your people to receive Your Word, Your anointing, God, over this entire body to do all that You have called us to do in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, amen. And amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. How about this? How about God already knows about the difficulties and the problems that you're facing? God already knows about the difficulties and the problems of His people. And if you belong to Him, He's able to quiet the storms of life. But here's the catch. Sometimes there are lessons for His own children to learn in the storm. Amen? How many of you have whined about being in the storm? The next time you find yourself in a storm, do this. Why don't you stop for a moment and begin to look at the storm and look at the possibility that maybe God has something in the storm for you to see, for you to learn. He can quiet the storms. And when we find ourselves in the midst of the storm, instead of sitting and crying and criticizing God, of course, none of us do that. Criticizing God, have we ever looked around to find out what lesson is in the storm that He wants for us to learn? Every time, it seems like sometimes every time we turn around, something's falling apart. I got another ache, I got another pain. I've always considered myself somewhat of a tough guy. Not that I'm a brawler or anything, but I've been beat up a little bit in my life. I've been bucked off horses. I've been kicked. I've been mauled. All those kinds of things. But the other day, yesterday, in fact, I was walking in the house and just hooked my arm on the back of the chair of our kitchen, and it just ripped me open. Just opened me up. I was bleeding all over. And I thought, man, something's got to give. Old skin, man. Just rips wide open. I'm like, what in the world? Somebody might have to put me in a bubble or something. I don't know. It's amazing. God will let us go through trials. God will not, rather, let us go through trials unless He has something in it for us to learn. Amen? So when God's often pictured as a shepherd, gently caring for and guiding His flock, He's powerful, yet He's careful, and He's gentle. In Psalm chapter 23, He's referred to as a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In John chapter 10, verse 11 and 14, He's called the good shepherd. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20, He's referred to as the great shepherd. And in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, He's referred to as the chief shepherd. We need to see tonight in our mind's eye that the shepherd is caring for the most defenseless members of His society. Who are we? We are children of the Most High God. We are children. He's watching over us. He's caring for us. We're in many ways defenseless, and yet He watches over us and He cares for us. And it reinforces, church, the prophetic theme that the truly powerful nation is not the one with the strongest military. The strongest nation is not necessarily the one with the strongest military, but in fact, the one that relies on God's caring strength. And in Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah describes God's power to create, His provision to sustain, and His presence to help. Did you get that? God's power to create. He created every one of us, did He not? He created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. God has power to create. His provision He gives us to sustain, and His presence to help. Listen, God is almighty. God is almighty. God is all powerful. There's no force stronger than God. But even so, He cares for each one of us personally. Turn in Isaiah chapter 40. Look at verse 12 through 15. I'm going somewhere here. I want you to get this tonight. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 12 through 15. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand? Measured heaven with a span and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in a scale and the hills in a balance. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as His counselor has taught Him? With whom did He take counsel, and who instructed Him and taught Him in the path of justice? Who taught Him knowledge and showed Him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket. Isn't that amazing? The nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, He lifts up the isles as a very little thing. Folks, nobody, no person can or thing can be compared to God. No thing, no person can be compared to God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? God's greater than anything on earth. God's greater than earth itself. He's greater than anything on the earth. He's greater than anything in heaven. Creation shows His wisdom, His power, and His immensity. He's a big God. He knows what you're going through. He knows the trials and the tribulations that you're facing. He's greater than the nations and their gods. He founded the earth and He sits on the throne of heaven. And nothing is equal to our God, let alone greater than our God. So the next time you're tempted to think the world is bigger than God, remember the drop in the bucket in verse 15. Isn't that amazing? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket. That's a big bucket. That's a big bucket. Amen. Oh, I love it. So remember the drop in the bucket. Remember the grasshoppers in verse 22. We didn't read it, but you can go back and read it. And if you ever feel so small that you wonder if God really cares about you personally, because sometimes we feel like God cares for us as a people, that God cares for us as a nation. But let me tell you something. God cares for you as an individual, as a person. And the next time you feel so small that you wonder if He even cares about you personally, remember this. According to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 26, He knows the name of every star. And He knows your name. And He has numbered the hairs on your head. Isn't that amazing? He knows your name. The same God who numbers and names the stars can heal your broken heart, can heal you of arthritis, can heal you of heart disease, lung disease. It doesn't matter what it is. Our God is bigger than all of that. God can heal all of that. If God can sustain somebody with a temperature of 109, He can sustain you, folks. Don't you think? We describe God as best we can with our limited knowledge and language, but we only limit our understanding of Him and His power when we compare Him to what we experience on earth, because He's bigger and more majestic than anything on this earth. Listen, I've seen some majestic things. I've seen the Grand Canyon. I've seen Zion National Park. I've seen some beauty in this land of ours. I was up at the lake fishing this past week, and I saw an eagle fly out of a tree and swoop down kind of off to our right and just snatch a fish right out of the lake. I mean, that was awesome. Not everybody gets to see that kind of stuff, but I got to see it, and I felt like I was favored of God. It might be a little thing to somebody, but to me, that was an awesome thing. I mean, we're out here fishing, doing everything we can, trying to catch a fish, and this eagle just goes, tink, and flies off like, man. That's the definition of an eagle eye. That's how you do it right there. It's amazing. Have you ever asked yourself, what is your concept of God? Have you ever just stopped and pondered God and wondered, what is my concept of God? Especially as revealed in His Son Jesus. Listen, don't limit His work in your life by underestimating Him. You know in the Scripture where it says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength? Don't forget that. Let that minister to you. 1 Peter chapter 5, or chapter 1 rather, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy. Anybody need mercy? He has an abundance of mercy. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved for in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be renewed in the last time. Man, that is good news, folks. See, what good is an inheritance in heaven that's kept safe and sound if we're not kept safe and sound on earth? First of all, our inheritance is protected. And secondly, we are protected. He's put a shield around us. A hedge of protection around us. His Holy Spirit within us to guide us and to direct us. Remember His still small voice that says, this is the way, walk in it. It's kind of like a safe within a safe. Nothing could be more secure. We have this continuous protection by the power of God working through faith of those protected. Believers reading Peter's letters could rest in the fact that God would constantly protect their faith and enable them to receive their promised inheritance. How many of you understand that you have an inheritance? Do you know what your inheritance is? Do you know what it means to be a joint heir with Jesus? Everything that Jesus has, you have. Isn't that amazing? Here's the catch. We might have to endure trials. We might have to go through some persecution. We might even die a violent death. But your soul cannot be harmed if we've accepted Christ's gift of salvation. That's why it's important. In fact, it's vital. The goal of the protection is salvation. As believers, we have already received salvation through our acceptance of Christ as Savior. But the fullness, church, the fullness of that salvation is complete. Its complete rewards, rather, and blessings will be revealed in the last time. Salvation refers not just to regeneration. It is a summary term of all the blessings of the Christian life. Are you living in the blessings of the Christian life right now? We don't have to wait until we get to heaven. We can be healed now. We can be renewed now. We can have provision made for us right now. Listen, if you're saved, you're living eternally right now. Your death, if you end up dying, is only a transition. It's only a transition. It's just a stage that we go through. Jake Hess, one of the old Southern gospel singers of yesteryear, sings a song called Death Ain't No Big Deal. And when you have that kind of relationship with the Lord, that death just ain't no big deal, you can face about anything. Because death doesn't have control. Death isn't a scary thing. Many of us are afraid to die. Listen, I'm not in a hurry to die. I'm not looking forward to it. But if it comes, I know what it means. Graduation day. I'm moving on up. The old Jefferson song, I'm moving on up. Amen. I just dated myself right there. We've received it. Even the strongest people get tired. You ever notice that? Even the strongest people get tired at times, but the power of God and the strength and His strength never diminishes. He is never too tired. He is never too busy to help or to listen. Amen? Never. He's never... this is heaven. Can I put you on hold? He don't work that way. He's always ready for you. His strength is our source of strength. When you feel that all of life is crushing you and you can't go another step, remember that you can call upon God to renew your strength. Let me close with this. And this is going to be a long closing, all right? Just so prepare yourself. Don't be gathering your stuff up because this is going to take me a minute. I'm just putting it out there. Just a precursor. Good job, Dennis. Yeah, that ain't nothing new, preacher. I'm going to close with this and 30 minutes later. Let me close with this last verse of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. I love this verse of Scripture. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I don't know if you've watched many eagles. Eagles are my favorite bird. I mean, I love them. I'm so grateful that when the nation was forming and they were picking this and that and the other thing, and when it came to picking the symbol of America, it was between a turkey and an eagle. How grateful I am that we are represented by the majesty of the eagle and not a turkey. I'm going to just be nice.
It would be a fight trying to eat.
A turkey. A turkey. Listen, when that eagle swoops down and just snatches a fish out of the lake, that was an amazing thing. I saw a video of an eagle that flew down and swooped down on a lake and grabbed a fish, and the fish was more than what it could handle. But there's a tenaciousness about eagles. And this eagle could not pick this fish up out of the lake. And so he just swam. Did you see that? All the way to the shore. Because he was not going to turn loose of that fish. And he swam all the way. I mean, and it was a long ways.
How big was the fish?
I have no idea. But it was bigger than that eagle could pluck up out and fly. It might have been. It didn't make any difference. That fish was having it for supper. The eagle was. The tenaciousness, the tenacity of that bird is amazing. And we shall mount up with wings like an eagle. An eagle goes through a process. I don't know if you know this or not, but about halfway through its life, an eagle goes through a process where its beak has become so long that it has a hard time even being able to eat anymore. And it gets so curled around that if it doesn't do something about it, it will starve literally to death. And so that eagle will fly to a high place and find a rock and beat his face on the rock until his beak comes off. And he grows a new beak. It's an amazing process that they go through. And then he flies up higher than you can even imagine. And he gets in the drafts up there and he just soars effortlessly. That's what I think of. That to just fly like an eagle and be above and just ride the thermals and just the view that he has to have. It's an amazing thing. You should study the life of an eagle. It is amazing what they go through. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Listen, God knows how we feel. He knows how we fear. And He is adequate to meet every one of our needs, folks. Absolutely adequate. We can never obey God in our own strength, but we can always trust Him to provide the strength that we need. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 makes it very clear. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? I can do all things. So if we trust ourselves, we'll faint. And will fall. But if we wait on the Lord by faith, we will receive strength for the journey. Here's one. The word wait. The word wait in this verse does not suggest that we sit around and do nothing. Amen? Listen. It does not suggest that we sit around and do nothing. It means that we are to hope. We are to look to God for all that we need. It involves meditating on His character and on His promises and praying and seeking ways to glorify God. How about the word renew? The word renew means to exchange, to take off old clothing and put on new. We exchange, listen, our weakness. What is it? When we are weak, He is strong. We exchange our weakness for His power, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. And as we wait before Him, God Himself enables us to soar when we are in a crisis and to run when the challenges are many and to walk faithfully in the day-by-day demands of life. It's much harder to walk in the ordinary pressures of life than to fly like an eagle in times of crisis. William Carey, the father of modern missions, said this, "I can plod. I can plod. P-L-O-D, plod." He says, "That is my only genius. I could persevere in any definite pursuit. To this I owe everything." Do you know what it means to plod? Think of an old plow horse. Plodding along. Blank, blunk, plop, plop. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. Amen? The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. The greatest heroes of faith are not always those who seem to be soaring. Often it is they who are patiently plodding. One step at a time. As we wait on the Lord, He enables us not only to fly higher and run faster, but also to walk longer. This could almost be a beatitude, but I'm not writing it. Blessed are the plodders, for they eventually arrive at their destination. Heck yeah. Blessed are the plodders because they eventually arrive at their destination. It reminds me of a black preacher that I heard about that preached a very wonderful sermon in which he said, "Brethren, this church needs to walk." One of the deacons stood up and said, "Amen." He continued on. He said, "Brethren, this church needs to run." The deacon stood up again and said, "Hallelujah." And then he said, "Brethren, this church needs to fly." And the deacon said, Amen and hallelujah. And the minister said, well, it's going to cost money to make this church fly. And the deacon replied, let her walk, brother, let her walk. I'm sorry. I'd never make a good comedian because I always laugh at my own jokes. You got to start somewhere. Let her walk, brother, let her walk. Church, regardless of who you are, if you're going to move with God through this earth, it's going to cost you something. It is going to cost you something. But God will furnish your strength, whatever your condition. If you need strength to walk, He'll give it to you. If you need strength to fly, He has that for you also. Hoping in the Lord is expecting that His promise of strength will help us rise above life's distractions and difficulties. It also means trusting in God. See, trusting helps us to be prepared when He speaks to us. Then we'll be patient when He asks us to wait and expects Him to fulfill the promises found in His Word. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You, Lord, that You have made provision for us. You have given us opportunity upon opportunity upon opportunity to serve You and to honor You and to glorify You. Lord, You said that if we're sick, we're to call on the elders that they might anoint us with oil, pray the prayer of faith, believing that You will supply the need. So God, I thank You for that. Lord, I pray tonight, God, that we would learn to wait on You. That we would learn to walk. That we'd learn to run. That we'd learn to wait and fly with You, Lord. You're a great God with healing in Your wings. Oh, we love You, Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, we love You, Lord. And not faint. Bless me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Come on. Well, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Teach us, Lord. Teach us, Lord, to wait on You. Teach us, Lord, to live our life in anticipation of what You're going to do and the provision that You're going to make for us. Lord, I know there are those in this place tonight, right now, God, that need Your touch in their body. And I pray right now, God, in anticipation, Lord, that they would receive their touch in their body. Lord, I thank you for Judy right now. I pray against every bit of arthritis in her body. Lord, I say, God, reveal it. Heal her in Jesus' name. Set her completely free from every ache and pain in her body. Lord, we thank you in advance. Lord, I anticipate the complete and total healing of her body. Lord, I'm grateful for Cheryl tonight, that she's been able to be here this morning and here again tonight. I thank you that you're renewing her, Lord, like an eagle. God, that she would run and not be weary, walk and not faint, rise up and mount up with wings as eagles. Lord, I'm grateful, Lord, for what you've done in her life, that you have sustained her over and over and over again, Father God. We are grateful for that, Lord. God, I'm grateful for Jim tonight. God, that he's here. Lord, that you have touched him. God, that you're continuing to heal his body, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we're grateful for it, Lord. God, I'm mindful of Joe tonight. And Father, I pray, God, as he lays in that intensive care ward tonight, God, that you would completely, totally heal and restore his body. God, in Jesus' name. God, that the doctors would walk out of his room shaking their head going, man, I don't know what it is unexplainable because God did something. And we can't explain when God shows up. Oh, we love you, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. I thank you in advance for every dime that comes that is on its way for this building project, Lord. In fact, Lord, I thank you that you're sending a commercial contractor to us right now. I don't know who he is, and I don't know where he's coming from, but God, I know that you're sending someone to be the general, the commercial contractor over this project, Lord, and I thank you that he's coming right now. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for it, Lord. God, I pray that this body would have a great week. Lord, that you would watch over our celebrations as we celebrate our independence as a nation. May we also celebrate our dependence as children of God on the Almighty God. And for that, I thank you and give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. God go with you. Thanks for coming out tonight. I pray you have a great holiday off tomorrow, and we'll see you back on Tuesday night. We'll see for Grief Share, Wednesday night Bible study, Thursday morning women's, Friday night men's, Saturday morning men's breakfast, and Sunday church again. Amen. God bless you. God go with you. Have a great rest of your week.